Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm good. Yes, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Are you all better? That's the key question here.
Loads better. Yeah. Been for a couple of runs this week. A few runs. Went out yesterday. Just feeling loads better. Yeah.
When you run, is there any kind of directly connected anything respiratory when you're running, or do you feel just like more like just because you haven't been out for a couple of weeks?
No, it's fine. I can't run for more than 10 meters, and then I go blind, right. And then I start again, and then that's how it goes. But very, very similar to how it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like in your book, isn't it? When you get that,
he says. laughing about a global pandemic. Welcome to Bad Taste Humour vis-a-vis COVID. Welcome to the COVID Comedy Hour.
I feel so terrible because particularly right now, and we'll get into this more, but so many beautiful messages, the overarching thing of which is so good. Well done for keeping going with a little sprinkle of, and Paul, you'll be back next week. And then here I am, full disclosure, I am in an armchair in my house in my onesie. What I mean is, I'm in Clissold Park.
Well, look out, puddle. What kind of onesie?
It's very top end, actually. It's really nice. It's a Ted Baker one, very nicely tailored with a horizontal stripe. I'm reliably informed it's sexy, but I think who has that opinion is deeply subjective.
I've noticed you around. In your Ted Baker onesie.
In a horizontally striped onesie.
In your Ted Baker onesie. Would you have breakfast with me?
Would you go to bed in that?
You hang around the house in that?
And in answer to that question, madam, I regularly wouldn't because it's very warm. But in recent conditions, yes, it's been quite the comfort.
Oh, God, it's absolutely... it's freezing, isn't it? It's absolutely freezing. I mean, a little... Because my wife's working from home. She's doing that... She's doing the job thing. She's working for the job centre of Bounsbury. She's ringing people.
Oh, but doing it from remotely. Yeah.
We're doing it remotely, and she's speaking to a lot of people, and some of them obviously they can't afford to heat the house. It's proper cold. Isn't it? I mean, we've got heating in this house, but it's not good enough. It makes you realise how leaky your house is, doesn't it?
We've got a rudimentary, a makeshift draft excluder on our front door because of that. Exactly. It feels like it's open. In fact, that was Sian Harris, Rod Gilbert's partner, said online this morning. She said, I said to Rod, shut the front door. And he said, I haven't opened it in days.
Yeah, totally.
Or rather, he said, I haven't opened it in ages. They haven't opened it for ages.
just hanging out by windows. It's just cold. It's just cold everywhere, isn't it?
It's really cold.
Well, listen,
it reminds me, actually, there was that time I went on tour on a mini tour that was only a few shows. It was like a week and a half, 10 shows in the northeast and Scotland in 2013, and it was in March. But there was a cold snap like this. It just started snowing, and the snow. You know that weird thing we've got now, where I don't know what it's like wherever people are listening, but where we are, it's just snowing all the time, isn't it? But not particularly settling. There's snow on the ground. sound, but it's not increasing.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
It was like that, and I was like, and it was like being stuck in a. Oh, well, that's what they used to call it. It was the polar vortex. Was that one in the days before the Beast from the East,
yes.
And among all the storms of silly names. And it was a terrible time to be on tour. And there was someone who was doing a bit of journalism and seeing what it would like to be homeless at that time, and he died.
Oh,
from seeing what it's like to, you know, he caught hypothermia from trying to live what it was like. Oh, you know, this is dangerous stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's guerrilla journalism gone a bit too far, isn't it? It's
proper, a bit too far.
It's proper freezing. And it's not laying massively, but I imagine it will do in the woods, in Highgate Woods, which I hope to get to later.
Is that where you've been running, around the woods?
Well, I ran just down the Parkland Way yesterday in the snow, and I've been running around the woods generally, just taking it. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the COVID recovery fund, I've just been doing 20, 30-minute runs. I've done a few of those, and I felt fine. I felt like I could go on a bit longer, but I didn't really want to wreck myself.
So important to take it easy, absolutely.
So,
but also, these are weird conditions. I mean, I was pleasantly... I have been out for a little run yesterday, but that has had a negative effect, which we'll get to. But it wasn't as bad as I thought on the roads.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I could read them, like there was places you could go and places you couldn't, and like having been running in the mud recently, I had some transferable skills. But it's actually easier on soft surfaces, isn't it? Because it's less likely to be slippery from where cars and people have been.
It's the black ice, isn't it? The black ice is the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a sort of non-specifically rough, really, but because I feel a bit coldy, and my wife had a bad cough a couple of days ago, but I think I'm just paranoid, I don't know. And it also feels like a hangover, but I wasn't drinking yesterday, so, you know. But very, very achy in all the usual places, but I think there's some referred pain here, because my knee, you know, my knee often hurts.
Yes,
but
the famous
unusually
chunk.
The ITB, like the whole right-hand side of it, is hurting a lot. And I think it's a combination of, one, God, we're getting into injury report here. I got this quite bad sore bit on the bottom of my right foot, which I think is a blister under a callus.
Right.
And I think, and then two, picking my way, I did a long run on muddy last week, and then on the ice yesterday. It's just changing all my form. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I've got referred pain in my leg because of my foot.
Yes.
And then I'm walking kind of hunkered over looking at the ground. Running hunkered over looking at the ground.
Yes.
And
I got
up this morning and the tops of my calves. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They hurt
yeah.
so much. Just from use, you know, it didn't feel like an injury.
Yes.
But my goodness, I couldn't get my leg straight. You know, it's just going...
Yeah, the con-
my
yeah,
family were going, are you okay, Father? And I was going, yes, I'm fine.
It's the constant... The constant changes in form over time will take it out of you. And all this is a long-winded way of saying that neither of us are currently running.
Yes, we are not running, but we do and will continue to run. And of course, we've got incredible guilt about that because of the key story of the day, which is that, as completely reminded by our wonderful community, we didn't know this, it's our fifth birthday.
I know, it's amazing. It's incredible, yeah. He was so nice.
Too soon for that, yeah?
No. He was so nice to get the messages, wasn't it, on social media and people...
All the messages. And,
people giving personal messages, people sending in just text messages, but people filming messages as well. But people who film messages who might not film many messages, who run on their own. And it was just really touching to realise that sometimes we are there... Often we are their sole company when they go on these long runs in quite inhospitable places. You know, it was just really
and
nice.
In reverse, it is a magic trick, you know, because we always believe and we always want to be. We're not just saying it when we say it on sort of Twitter and stuff. We see ourselves as out there with you. So to have that brought to life with these videos, which frankly were particularly fantastic because of the weather we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it was so some of them were so. Windy and crispy and up in the middle
lovely.
Of nowhere
really,
in beautiful
really nice.
And challenging
really,
ways
really nice.
it was wonderful for us, wasn't it? I've been quite emotional about that the last couple of days.
It was really nice. And it's supposed to being out there with them now we're in there with them.
Well, now that all you guys are out there running in the wind and rain, I can just sit here scratching my ass in this onesie.
I mean normally.
I've noticed you around. Actually, I haven't. You're still in your house.
Yeah. Would you scratch your ass again? I would normally be out running. I could sort of be you, sort of thing. But I'm so tech illiterate. The idea of me running with my phone is just so comical and doomed to failure.
That's right. That's the one thing making me feel less guilty about this, thinking, well, Paul could do the thing where he takes the phone and does the running.
Yes, Paul could do that.
And then I said to myself, could he, though?
Yeah,
could
all right, wait a minute. No, just give me a minute. absolute rubbish. I will be going for a run later.
It's been amazing because, and also not to, like you say, it's really special for us to see all those videos, and not least because of the challenge that you guys underwent to see, and the different ones, you know, from the spotting a pylon up there, which was a classic Paul pylon on Dougie's one, and Kevin in his van, which we so often hear about, is actually
really
there
nice,
in the van. A lot of lovely merch,
Helen,
you know,
Mark H. Yeah, lot of merch. It's great. That merch is fab. It's fab, isn't it? The merch has gone really well. It's nice to see that people can still get those T-shirts.
Yeah, so we certainly haven't paid for any more to be produced. Well,
we certainly haven't lost more money on them recently, so God knows how we're still losing money on them. But it was an absolute joy to see him out there. And they're so... No, that was... It was really nice. It makes you
realize. But of course, as you say, also lots of people saying, listen, that I'm not going to make a video, but love your work. And that's
of course,
absolutely.
Wonderful.
And
absolutely, yeah.
I need to report to you on all the wonderful stuff on the supporter page. Because we were talking about, last time we talked about that, we were getting all these kind of Christmas presents coming in through the supporter button on the Acast page.
Nice.
But that flow, unlike Christmas for all other humans, that flow just hasn't abated. And the number of messages and the generosity of people from the anonymous simple, you know, just a cup of coffee, as to people throwing money at us and saying, sorry, it's not more, love you,
that's
guys,
really,
you know,
oh,
it's just been,
that's amazing.
It's so nice, and we're so happy, and I'm so sorry I'm not running.
Wait on Ra, we might be going on holiday, just phone Paxos. That's good. That's great. That's
Wait,
great.
Are you going on holiday to a stuffing factory? Because I think
who
that's
knows?
Very sage who, advice.
Who knows where we're going, or if holidays will happen. But
hey, let's be clear. Let's amazing. Be absolutely clear. Let's deal with one of the key issues of the day. A staycation is a holiday in your house. A holiday in Britain.
Is a holiday. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, 85% of the holidays I've ever been on
have been staycations.
Weren't holidays.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely
That's not
crazy.
Right.
Absolutely crazy. We've already booked 4 days in Weymouth in August, which feels very achievable.
I'd heartily recommend it.
On a campsite. So let's see what happens there. It was great. 5 years. It was mad. I'll tell you what, it's a cliche, isn't it, about the flying by thing? But my word, it doesn't seem 5 years ago, does it?
It's such the absolute balance of it. You know, it's so lovely. Some of these messages, one, I think a message I was just reading this morning on the sports page was saying, like, you know, people saying I've been your friend with you from the beginning, and also people saying I started listening, like, you know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And if you add the story of what's been going on in the world, and the people's story of running, you know, people who kind of found us when they were coming back after injury,
yes,
and then just went zip, 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 and got completely back into it. But also people saying, you know, it's not just about running, it's not just about the lockdown. People saying, oh, I've been listening to the show, and in the time I've been listening to the show, I've moved house, I've had a baby. You know, it's just...
Totally.
We've covered a massive slice of life this last few years.
It's
and
really
it's been
nice,
like
yeah.
that for us as well. And it, like you say, it feels... It's so nice and steady, because it feels the same. And, one of the people who sent a message, it was Andrew went back to the very first episode.
Right,
and I was
nice.
Thinking, I was sort of slightly embarrassed to think, not that much has changed since that first episode. You know, we're still moaning about the same things. And,
we're
you know.
The podcast incarnation of Waiting for Godot, aren't we? We are that. Every week we return to the same.
Although it's quite ironic that first episode was quite near Essex Road and Stoke Newington, because like that area in real life, it used to be the case that there was a very light police presence in North London.
Yes.
But the police do appear more often these
Lots
days.
Lots more
over.
Police on the ground. Over necessary during the pandemic to assist in the policing of social distancing. Over.
Pair of constables didn't turn up till about halfway through the podcast. Podcast constables now regularly in attendance.
So only a matter of time before the recording of the podcast itself contravenes social distancing laws and we get arrested, have we?
Arresting ourselves. Currently placing myself under arrest. It's quite impressive. It's good that the police have survived into the lockdown because these constables, very much a product of slightly too long car journeys.
Over. To what extent can this be described as work? Over.
I've noticed you around. Is that a police uniform?
No, he's right. And
it's a horizontally striped onesie.
Ted Baker.
But when we say, in terms of when we started the podcast, we started in horrendous weather as well, wasn't it? It was horrendous for a few weeks, wasn't it?
It couldn't
have been a more inhospitable opening to the whole thing. Several failed recordings. Really bad, really bad weather.
Thank goodness we've completely cracked that and not lost any recordings.
If only they knew.
Oh, we've come so far.
If only
they
knew.
No distance at all. It's like a metaphor for going for a run, isn't it?
And it's also been a great week for some people for London Marathon ballot as well, isn't it?
It's another turn of the card. People saying, I'm in the marathon. And other people saying, oh, it's 12 years and I'm still not in the London Marathon. So congratulations and commiserations in exactly equal measure to one and all.
And there's also there's a massive assumption that they're all going to happen. Which I actually think's good. I think they probably will. There's something nice about it, but it still seems a long way away for me. I mean, it's February, and London, all those mass marathons will be amazing. And old Martin Hutchinson, bless him, he didn't get into London, but he did Yorkshire.
Yeah, we're not just being nice when we say the Yorkshire Marathon is a wonderful thing.
It's a fab marathon,
I've just been going through my book again, just doing the copy edit on my book, and apart from anything else, it's a real love letter to the Yorkshire Marathon. And for me, the Yorkshire Marathon is absolutely the counterpoint to London. You know, I've done a bunch of other marathons, but really my marathon story is London in the spring, Yorkshire in the autumn, and both of them have been such a key part of my running life. So
it's a really solid, friendly, great course. There's something really nice about Yorkshire. I really enjoyed it when I did it.
There is something speedy about it. It's quite hard to pin down because there's a fair amount of ascent and descent on the course. It is smooth and easy. It's not when they say, oh, it's flat, they're sort of telling the truth. It doesn't go up into the up on the moors or anything. But it's not flat like Berlin.
Or even
London.
There's some very occasionally long, slow, long, steady descents, just sort of gradual descents that you can really feel comfy cruising at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then what's nice is you literally turn back on yourself and go all the way bloody back up.
Yes, yeah.
I absolutely love Yorkshire.
It's still a marathon.
The other one that's worth a mention, a lot of people saying, forget London, I'll do Manchester, which is great because it really plays into the London-Manchester dialogue. Oh, it's the best city. It's a better city.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a bad Manchester accent. I was more Yorkshire there, wasn't I?
Manchester's way better.
You want to do Manchester instead, mate? That's what you want to do.
Why do you want to live in London when you could live in Manchester?
It's obviously better. But it is, that's the one, and like what you were saying about October, you know, it is so nice to have something kind of to project and say, well, that's something to look forward to, but it still feels like a bit of a crazy dream. And that's so exacerbated by my email the other day saying, and I'm sure you got one too, saying, you're doing the Manchester Marathon.
Yes.
I was like, am I?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday and before, you know, waking up and thinking, I can't run at all. But just looking at October and thinking, which would I rather do? I mean, it's pure luxury.
Yes.
You know, I would quite like to do Yorkshire and Manchester, but they're only a week apart, so I don't think I'm strong enough for that.
Yes. Yeah. There's basically three marathons in October, isn't there, potentially?
Yeah.
Three big ones. I mean, Yeah, it's just too early to say. I'm just coming off the old COVID leak. I'm just getting my legs in. But if I can have a decent summer, then one of those would be great. And this sounds extremely indulgent as well. I don't know whether does entry roll over for London? if you got it, if you had it last year?
I think that what happened was if you had a place in London Marathon last year,
yeah,
that you could kind of basically make a variety of choices. You can roll over your place.
Right.
You can do the virtual marathon. I think you can maybe do both, but I haven't heard anything, so I don't. I assumed that I wasn't doing it because I did the virtual one.
Right,
and
okay.
We haven't talked about doing it for the podcast because I don't know. I absolutely
We don't know. I think I rolled over.
Did you fall over and then roll over?
There's been a lot of psychologically rolling over during the pandemic, and I think I rolled over. I'll tell you what, I fell off the no booze thing on Saturday with quite horrific consequences.
Let's get the date on that. That was February the 6th.
Yes. Yeah,
so basically, after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, you came back into the fold.
Yeah. We were chatting about tea, and Rachel said, "Oh, why don't we get a steak?"
Listeners, when he said tea, he meant the evening meal.
Yeah.
Carry on.
We were chatting about pre-supper, and Rachel.
If anything, you're overcompensating. Yeah.
And Rachel said, "What's for tea?"
She said, "How about some steak?"
And when she said steak, I immediately thought wine, and then before you know it, we were just drinking wine and having steak, and just got really drunk. I woke up on Sunday.
Isn't she vegetarian now?
Yes,
I've got some steak based news. This was the cartoon situation at Tomkinson Foster Towers. Was she turned round and you walked into the kitchen and said, "What's for tea?" And she was just seeing a giant cartoon steak. So she said, "How about steak?" And and you saw a giant cartoon bottle of wine. And
absolutely,
the rest is cartoon history.
You can't eat steak without wine. She's one of those vegetarians who eat steak from time to time. She's fallen off that pretty resoundedly.
fallen off it onto a cow, which did not survive the impact.
What with all the chicken and everything. And then, we just did the old three bottle of wine between two of us trick, which hardly a trick. Ta-da!
And how did you feel? Did you feel guilty at the time or the next day, or did you just think this is right?
On the night, I felt absolutely exultant. I felt like meeting an old mate that I'd been unjustly ignoring for weeks. Just why don't I do this all the time? You know, this is obviously the way life should be. And then I woke up the next day. I just felt absolutely awful, and now I feel like I'm back on the wagon again. We'll see. Obviously, I'm never going to say anything about my drinking, apart from I cannot drink moderately, and the day after I feel so bad.
But I think, just a perspective on this, when you said we were sort of texting about this week and you said, "Oh, I fell off on Saturday night," my first thought, and you know, for better or worse, just honestly, I just thought, I'm glad. Not because you were making me feel guilty, although maybe that's it deep down, but I just think it's, as someone who has given up drinking for months at a time, I think it's a big ask in these crazy times. I just think that it's a bit of occasional drinking at home with one's wife is an incredibly appropriate response to the current status of British life.
Oh yeah, it's all fine, and that's absolutely fine. But the only problem is, it's not like I haven't done that. You know, do you know what I mean? I mean, that's basically all last year from March the 23rd.
But maybe we're just gradually, in a desperate, zigzaggy way, maybe we're moving towards moderation, you know?
I said to myself
one night a week in February, I was going to try and go down from two nights a week in January to one night a week in February. And still very strict Monday through to Friday, but you were making me think that wasn't working because you seemed so strong. And I just basically, that means that every weekday evening, I go, "So we're not drinking. Not drinking then. So we're not drinking for about an hour from 6 till 7. And then I, you know, at the weekend. But then I am keeping up. And then this weekend, I failed in adhering to that rule. I had a drink on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But now it's Tuesday and I won't drink again till Friday. Yeah, and also, I always stop at 9 o'clock and do my 16-hour fast. And somewhere in amongst that, there's just less. I'm just having less.
Yeah, well, just that's great. That's perfect. I mean, I can't. With me, it was like, I think I'm heavily influenced by mates. So there was a gang of us not boozing, and then Julie and Matt started drinking again, and then my mate Helen started drinking. And then before you know it, you're just like, well, if no one else is bothering, do you know what I mean? We're either all doing it or no one's doing it. It's a bit childish.
Not to be egotistical about this, but I just point out to the running commentary audience that I am not part of this influential crowd.
Well, no, because I don't see you as a problem drinker. I mean, just because you can stop at nine. I mean, do you know what I mean? That, to me, yes, that indicates that's almost monastic, the ability to stop at nine.
The man in the striped onesie doesn't seem to be a problem drinker. He stops at 9 o'clock. Often Deering drinks as much as he can between 6 and 9. Deering will be drinking another day.
If we can delete Deering off the problem drinkers list, over. And introduce Helen, Matt and Julie, Rachel, back on the stage. Over.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Just a little thing about the 5 years of running commentary. I want to tell a story now because the phrase binge drinking always makes you think of it. And I'm pretty sure I told it once before, but I think it was ages ago. So let's have a classic from the archives. Years ago, a good friend of mine and a really quiet, steady fellow who definitely didn't drink much went out on his big brother's stag do.
Yeah.
And he got drunk and did a very poor job of crossing the road and he got hit by a car. Now, it was much worse than it was not nearly as bad as it looked, right? Because he was fine, like no more than a bruise. But the car windscreen got broken. So they basically thought, oh no, everyone's going, oh no, see if he's okay. Is Rob okay? Honestly, I'm telling this story for a friend. No, it's a different Rob. And so they got there, but so took him to the hospital. He was drunk, but he was like, I'm fine. And of course, he's drunk enough to go, am I fine? Or have my bones been broken and I haven't noticed yet? Anyway, he was absolutely fine. And they said, do you drink a lot? How many units a week do you drink? And he said, I hardly drink at all. And he saw the guy right on the form, binge drinker. And then they were saying, classic, oh, he's gone through the windscreen. He's, you know, he must have really hurt himself on the car. But it turned out that he had an Elton John costume in his rucksack. Right. And it was the heels of his platform boots that smashed the windscreen of the car.
Fantastic.
Anyway, he lives in Denmark now. And so he doesn't do alcohol. He does hookah.
Good for him. Nice. Well, we're all getting a little bit into that kind of trying to be cozy. It's quite hard. Yeah. I'm not very good on the cozy thing. My life is basically responding to Billy the dog, who just basically tells me what to do constantly. She barks at me and then just looks at me repeatedly till I do something for her, which is either take her for a walk, feed her, or let her into the garden. And that's basically my life. That's basically.
Can you sometimes do all three of those?
I sometimes do all three. Yeah, but it's sort of. But honestly, it's and when she needs feeding, she just scratches at the fridge. That's her sign that she needs feed. She basically just totally. She's so badly trained. It's incredible.
That sounds like quite good training to me. That's what my children do.
But she totally. She just runs the house, and then if she sees a fox or hears a fox in the middle of the night, she goes absolutely mad for about 2 hours, sprinting around the house barking at everyone. She's an absolute pain.
She'd be a nightmare in my house because I hear the foxes every night. The weird thing is that I'm the one who hears them. The others go, no, didn't hear them. And they make so much noise. And yes. Then, and sometimes I absolutely love it. I think, good old the natural world. And, you know, sort of like nature coming back in the lockdown and stuff. And other times I absolutely, I'm absolutely terrified. I think I hear that sound and I think, oh, I see. Once again, totally alone and life is chaos.
It can feel a little bit apocalyptic, can't it? Like you're in the early stages in a survival film with Liam Neeson or something and they're all coming to get you.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's so what kind of running have you been doing then? What's been happening? You've basically hurt your knee. Is your knee still
I think
pain.
That in a moment of what sounds like terrible denial, I think that my knee is okay and it's getting stronger. Right. I think that what's happening is at the moment my key injury is the sole of my right foot. And the irritating thing about that is that it's a lockdown injury. It's from being around the house in bare feet and slippers and socks, and I've got myself a blister that I can't shake that I'm just making worse and making more and more permanent. Right. And running doesn't help. I've been doing loads of running. So I'm going to go and see the podiatrist, you know, to use the American word. So to say chiropodist or chiropodist has actually turned into a row in this house, which that's lockdown-tastic.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I think it's a shirt, but I don't know.
I'm still slightly confused as to how you've managed to get a blister walking around your house. What's happening there? Is that your sliders have done that, or what's the sort of
sliders, Paul? You keep saying this word, and I don't know what it means. I thought it was some kind of pork dish.
Sliders are like flip flops, but not. I'll post a picture of sliders so you know they're sort of like lounge.
They're flip flops, but they don't go between your toes. They go over the top.
Yeah, they're sliders.
You'll never see me in a pair of sliders.
Right.
That's never going to happen.
Okay.
I've got slippers, which over time I have had to admit to myself that I need. But normally around the house I'd be completely barefoot. But over time, on barefoot and carpet, my feet, the underside of my feet start complaining.
Right,
so,
okay.
Also, we have our shared computer in the open plan area downstairs.
Yeah.
Is a standing up computer.
Right.
So I do all my writing standing up.
Which is good for you, isn't it? That's great.
Yeah, that's right. Add to that, and I also kind of run the kitchen. So I'm basically on my feet all day on a wood floor without shoes.
And even that
isn't too bad, but I didn't act when I started getting a bit of a blister and a bit of soreness.
I just completely
ignored it. That was the mistake. And now it's affecting my running. So, yes, I have got a knee that aches, but mainly because I find it quite a satisfying ache. Like last week, I did a 13-mile run last week and a 10-mile. It's a real shame because after we spoke last week, do you remember I was at St. Paul's when we said goodbye?
Yes, yeah.
And I was joking about Tom Cruise running across Blackfriars Bridge. But honestly, on the run back, I felt a pace that I hadn't felt for ages.
Nice.
And I wasn't trying to run fast. I just thought, oh, wait a minute, I'm living it. You know, my head is up. My thumbs are kind of coming towards my heart space.
Sometimes you get lifted, don't you? When you least expect it, you just get
a little, it's just there.
That's amazing.
And particularly, I think sometimes if you're on a there and back run, you can really find it. You know, it's almost like the soft, the dog run version of a negative split. You know, you kind of pootle out to the turnback and you're all warmed up and you've left something in the tank, not deliberately, you just happen to. We always run slower when we're chatting. So we'd been chatting. Yeah. And then I turned to come home and I just felt this woof, you know, like the wind at my back. It was great.
Nice.
And I made a bit of a commitment because I am sort of slower even when I'm on my own than I used to be. I made this kind of commitment when I'm running on my own with music and stuff to try and just always be running miles that start with an 8 rather than start with a 9.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Why not?
It's a loose... And then I did a quite fast. I did a sort of semi-park run later in the week. I went out in the dark and ran 5K in trying to feel like I was going fast but without trying to get a really fast time.
Yeah.
Playing cool. With tempo, really.
Nice.
30 mile weeks, trying to be very happy with a couple of double figures miles runs a week and playing
that's
with
great.
Tempo. That's my current situation.
Bit of variety, that's good. That's great. I mean, I tend to start slow and speed up throughout. But there was a guy on Twitter, sorry, I should have got his name, was talking about how he's been doing all this running. And then the day after doing quite a hard training session, you got a PB, the half marathon PB by 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of, it sounds a very simple thing to say, but it's very, 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 very accurate. And it's one for the Tonkinson Bible, but the more
I'm at home, I can get a pen. Let me get a pen and write this down. Yeah. Here we go.
The more running they do, the better you'll get at running. It's one of those.
Back up.
But then,
you know what I mean? It's a balancing act. And B, and this is the more difficult one, I think, that is particularly difficult because let me bring in someone else now who's saying, oh, I'm really not enjoying my marathon training schedule, is that you've got to try and keep it fun. And that's true for everyone. I think that like I was saying, I was chatting to Izzy Sooty about the Couch 5K. Mm. And she was kind of feeling guilty about not being able to adhere to that whilst loving running, but just trying to fit it round homeschooling and parenting and stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was just saying, the thing about those things is that they are designed to help you have a relationship with it. You know? So when it comes down to it, and then that gets more difficult if you're training, because if you want to do your marathon, then you've got to push against that point where you're literally, all you're thinking is, it hurts, I'm tired, I don't want to run. And more complicatedly, it feels like the training is counterproductive, you know? Mm, I remember when I was first trying to get into running every day and it was making me feel so weak and no good at running. Because I'd get to the Friday and think, oh, this mile feels like 10 miles. You know what I mean? Resting is so important. But you've really got to try and be jazzy about it. And if you've got a marathon training plan, which is demoralizing, you need to somehow change the plan in such a way that it G's you up whilst maintaining it in such a way that you keep getting better for the marathon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although it's sort of like... I suppose what I meant with the initial thing is like he was surprised by the fact he was getting faster despite the fact he was running more miles every week.
Yeah.
And I've found some of my fastest runs, like I did my 5 mile PB when I was training for the marathon in the middle of really hard training for the marathon, like 2 days after I'd run a really hard, you know, half mile interval session. And, you know, your body reacts to training quite quickly, and it's always try to forage around for energy and do the same thing with less energy. And those periods of training when you're really tired, you feel the benefits of those when you ease up. Do you know what I mean? It's like
when
you get your taper, that's
true.
What the training is. That's the you earn your race in training, and obviously you don't have to ruin your life to do that. And everyone picks their levels to do that. And you've got people like old Martin on one end of the spectrum, and Izzy on the other, and everyone's just trying ultimately to enjoy running, but. It's just like if you run 40 miles a week, most people run a faster 10K than if they run 30 miles a week. And if you run 50 miles a week, you'll get faster again. Do you know, I just see it in the club all the time. The fastest guys are the guys running 90 miles a week.
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. I think I was sort of looking at the negative side of that because I felt so good last week and now my legs are really hurting. But I think it gets harder
as you get older as well.
I think it's icy. But I also think you're right because I think that it's one of those things that we have, and you're particularly right to state it in your way of wisdom, because it is strangely counterintuitive, because our front brains
Yeah.
Are like, oh, I'm so tired. You know, but like you say, meanwhile, your body's kind of just scrambling around in the boiler room, providing what you need, you know?
Yes.
When I go out and run a 5K now, as fast as I can, even when I'm quite fit for it, like even when we went down to the track in the autumn, let alone at the moment when I'm a bit sort of slower and limpier and feeling a bit after Christmas or whatever, every one of them feels so tough. It's just such a, what's your word? It's combative. It's there's attrition there, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And yet in the sort of golden era of getting into park runs, when I was doing lots of touring and doing park runs all over the place, so many of them in my memory, kind of all of them this last 5 years of the podcast, I was running to them, which is your idea in the first place, running to the park run.
Yes. Yeah.
I never forget the Town Moor Park run in Newcastle, which is fantastic. And I went up there, and of course I'm thinking it wasn't a PB, you know, like you were saying about going out the next day and knocking, but it was basically comparable with any park run I'd done. And I'd run a hilly 10 miles to get there.
Wow.
And it just I just remember that moment when the park run started, that not the moment it starts, but the moment when you sit into it. You're probably say half a kilometre into the park run.
Yes.
I just remember, I was observing exactly the effect you're talking about, just thinking, why am I not tired?
Yeah, totally.
You know, my
totally.
Legs are totally up for this.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. Yeah, yeah. It's all, and it is about, and it coming right back round to our friend who smashed that PB, there's an element of surprising yourself with it. You've still got to kind of jump out from behind the door on yourself with this stuff.
It's kind of, it's amazing. You know, the caveat's always like, you know, don't over push yourself, don't get injured, listen to your body.
Yeah, but they're a very pessimistic family, aren't they?
Yeah, but but you can be. It's amazing the effects that consistent training can have at any level. You can always surprise yourself. It's just get if you can get that block of like 2 months, 3 months training and just really, really feel it and push through it and do all the stretching you need to and look after yourself. It's just amazing the transformational effects you can have on your own body. It's
subtle. Wild. You know, you can do amazing, huge things, but also what feels like a plateau is a gentle strengthening over time, all the time, you know?
Always getting better.
Yeah, I was doing the yoga, still doing the yoga every day.
Yeah.
And just doing a bit today and thinking, oh, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. It was like I was doing a happy baby, where you lie on your back holding your feet.
Yeah.
And basically Adrian was saying, feel how your spine from your kind of small of your back to your shoulder blades. Hey, Billy, what do you need? Food? No, do you want to go in the garden? What's the story?
No, that's Billy. That's Billy in the garden, and she does that just to annoy David, our normally mild-mannered doctor neighbour. So, but I can't go through the kitchen to get Billy because Rachel's on a work call. So Rudy, who's in his pyjamas, he's gonna be forced to go into the garden, which is it's gonna be interesting to see whether he actually does it. I'll be surprised if he does. But no, Billy finds the most. She finds the most inaccessible place in the garden, and then just sits there and just barks for like until someone comes to get her. But and she only comes in if you entice her with food. That's it. She won't come in just because you say, you know, come here, whatever. You need to show some food, or else she's not gonna.
I think Billy is an absolute legend.
Yeah. She extended the mortgage the other day of her own volition. She's taken over every aspect of the house.
I think you're mixing Billy up with Rishi. Yeah. But Billy is talking of legends of the show and the past 5 years. I just had a thought. I was thinking about this surprising the thing, and it's a slight simplification in my memory. But I feel like Kate Carter, our friend Kate Carter, wanted to run a sub-3 marathon and trained really hard for it and was really focused and really kind of scientific in her approach.
Yes.
And then kind of almost broke herself on the wheel of missing it by 7 seconds. And then, if I remember rightly, got it by dressing up as a panda. Is that accurate? Is that what happened? I might be slightly mixing up two stories. But that's right.
It was only when she donned a full panda outfit that she managed to break the magic free.
Or did she complete the London Marathon driving a Fiat Panda? Which is quite a challenge because they're not great performance from those cars.
She did very well, didn't she? The marathon where I beat three, she sort of broke herself on the idea and missed by, I think, by about 7 or 8 minutes or something. She just had a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then went away.
And that was the one after missing it by seconds. And she's like, I've got to do it next time, which is almost the worst place to be. That's like...
Yeah, absolutely,
that's
yes.
where I was at in after I got my PB in York, was trying to beat it or even match it in other cities. And I lost it. You know, I lost the jazzy end of things. The subconscious, my ego was taken out of the whole deal, and yes. I was just trying to do it all by maths and repetition and knowing what I was doing. And you've got to keep the running jazz musician in your head alive if you're really going to catch this stuff, haven't you?
Yeah. You've got to kind of you've just got to feel comfy with what you're asking. So on a technical level, it's that sort of, you know, realistic goals thing, but it's more about you don't want to make yourself a victim of the running, isn't it? That's sort of what we're saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can get in stages of your training program where you think, I've got to do this, whilst knowing that you sort of can't, but you're still breaking yourself on this kind of this altar that you've created for yourself.
It's both, you know? Things are true. You know, you do this thing that's really, really difficult. The goose in the glass cask. Do you remember the goose in the glass cask?
No.
That goose is trapped in the glass cask.
Yeah.
And there's no way it's coming out. You know, there's no funnel or anything. The glass is surrounding the goose.
Yeah.
And then how are you going to get it out? This was a terrible, impossible thing. You've got to remember that goose in the glass cask is just in your head. And if you want it out, it's out.
Yeah.
That weight that you're applying to that hill, that marathon, that distance, that finish line.
Yeah.
It's a weight that your front brain is choosing to apply.
Yeah,
you know,
I used
to find in that time of running to the park run, I'd get to 4K and think, oh, I can't maintain the speed. It's a nightmare to get to the finish line. And then the other side of my brain would say, yeah, but what if you were running home? What if you were just turning right and running home?
What if the finish
line didn't exist at all, you know?
Yes,
and I want to, I'm really keen at this point to evoke yoga and the balance of mind and body and upwards energy and downwards energy and inward breath and outward breath. And everyone might go, oh God, here he goes, hippie. But I would say if you don't see it that way, and if that yoga doesn't work, then fine. Think of it in terms of Star Wars. This stuff is about being a Jedi. It's not that you don't have to do the lightsaber fight and the running and the jumping. Yeah. It's just that you do it all with an inward breath and you shut your eyes and you let the force flow through you.
You
just drop to your knees. You don't pace around like Darth Maul.
Yes,
you drop to your knees like Liam Neeson, and you just let the moment come to you.
It's a kind of, I always think it's a combination of both. I think it's sort of like, there's definitely a space for just pure bullish determination.
For choosing the wrench, like in Good Will Hunting, when he chooses the wrench.
I want to beat an hour for 10K, or I want to do that, whatever limit you want to set yourself on, and aiming for that. But it's just sort of, it's finding a way of enjoying the struggle in it, isn't it? It's that accepting that struggle's inevitable, pain during a run's going to be inevitable, and it's whether you... I suppose this is where I meet you. It's whether you choose to attach too much to that. You know, I would say it's bad tactics to do so. It's like the best, I always come down to the best, the guys at the front of the race, you know, when they do studies on them afterwards, it shows that they're pushing their body harder than anyone else. But often they look like they're not. They look the most comfortable in terms of form. And I would argue is they're just not identifying too much with the pain that they're feeling. They just find a way of accepting the inevitability of suffering. So
it all gets a bit buddish, it's that balance. It's basically putting yourself at one remove, or not putting yourself, putting your conscious brain at one remove from the task. So you kind of, and I think, we've all had it, that moment when you're running and you think, and you're leaving the run and it's the run you want to do, and you think, this is difficult, or that hurts, or this is bothering me. And the other voice in your head says some version of, so...
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like when you've got that pain, you know, I've had that pain, whatever it might be, you're deep in a marathon. You've run 10 miles, 13 miles, 16 miles, 20 miles, and you think, oh, this thing, I've got really specific pain there. It's rubbing, or that's hurting, or whatever it might be. And the other voice in your head says, do you need to stop?
Yeah.
No. And you're like, well, then on we go. You know, it's just, not an issue.
Onwards, ever onwards. But you've got those, the people, the guys doing the part run, the performative, you've got that. I mean, I suppose everyone has their own tactics, but it just doesn't do it for me, that. But that's not to, you know, maybe they're getting the best out of themselves as well.
Absolutely,
you know
what I mean? It's their journey. And also, if you've got that, if... I do miss the park run.
It all gets a bit Tarzan. They seem to be the guys who run, if not in bare feet, in those trainers that aren't really trainers sort of things, those kind of flippy floppy feet shoes.
Said sliders. You've got such a knowledge of shoes. It was, do you remember when we were on Hampstead Heath and we bumped into a nice woman called Lydia who said she was just about to do a run of 10K?
Yes.
And she went out for a run in the snow yesterday and she said, oh, what wonderful weather. And she posted a wonderfully positive picture for someone who hadn't got the place in the London Marathon ballot.
Oh, bless
and
her,
she
bless
said,
her.
Oh, it's trail running shoes weather. And I was like, yeah, or fall over weather if you haven't got any trail running shoes. That's what I need in the next 5 years of running commentary is a more sophisticated relationship with shoes.
Yeah. Different types of shoes. Yeah.
I've got lockdown shoes now. I'd bought some, but they weren't any good. And they, when I say lockdown shoes, they're just shoes.
Right.
But I bought some shoes to wear in the house. I don't like them very much and they're not very comfortable. So I got some of my old shoes, my shoes.
Yeah.
And it's sounding more and more like Imelda Marcos actually describing about three pairs of shoes.
Lost in a semantic description of shoes, have I?
Anyway, I cleaned my shoes and they are now my writing shoes. But, you know, for wearing my writing shoes in the house, the other day I came back from a run, put some shoes on to go and edit the book, and it was like I was in fancy dress, dressed up as myself, to write about running.
Did you put on your editing shoes, though? Do you have different shoes for different things?
No, is that what you think I should get? Editing shoes? Well, are these sliders? Starts treading on tiny. Sliders are tiny little beef burgers, aren't they? That's what they are. That's what's going to happen.
They are pork sliders.
This vegetarianism in your house is going badly. They're eating steak. They're wearing burgers as shoes. The dog is terrified. The dog's hiding in the garden. Come, food. That's it. When Billy sees you at the back door offering food, it's like, we see you as food.
Yeah.
In you come. Our next meal.
God, bloody Billy, every day. But listen, it's next week we have to go for a run.
We can go for a run next week. I'll tell you this. I got the podiatrist on Thursday. So heads up, if the podiatrist hacks at the sole of my feet on Thursday, then we'll have to think about that. But assuming
if we don't do that, then I'll just have to work it out and do it. I'm going to go for a run later today because I love running in the snow. I absolutely adore it.
Yeah, I do too. I wish that I lived somewhere more countrified. I think the your Parkland walk will do it. That's the place.
Oh yeah, it's
to
fantastic.
I can't. I can run on soft surfaces, but only the nearest non-pavement run that isn't too busy in lockdown is 2.5 miles away. So
yeah.
That's a slippy trip for a guy with a sore ITB.
Absolutely.
So, but you're right, next week. But late. Hey, listen, I want to just brainstorm some memories of the last 5 years.
Go on then.
Do you remember when we got lost in Dalby Forest in the fog?
Of course I remember that one. I remember that one, mate. That was great. That was, you got very annoyed about that one.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was annoyed. I was so angry with myself. And I was scared because I couldn't see how we could ever not be lost. I couldn't find a way out. I'm still in there. I'm still in Dalby. I have to say, I find Dalby Forest more mentally challenging than the actual lockdown.
Yeah.
And what about the talk? But let's clear, just to cleanse the palate of my mind, our other Yorkshire run when we went up over the tops in Osmotherley, which when we also got
lost again. We got lost again, didn't we? Yeah.
But that was beautiful.
That was meant to be my home patch.
Yeah.
We got lost. I'm reminded of Derek Clayton, the old Australian marathon runner, who used to intentionally get lost when marathon training, so he ran for longer. Always an option.
And you mentioned that on one of our earliest podcasts, and I was absolutely inspired. It's the same as Mickey, because it was Mickey D and Fred who used to talk about dog runs.
Yes.
I think that's, it's so wonderful to even think of a dog run in lockdown, because, I mean, we might go out and not know how far we're going to go. You know, I made a point of not knowing how far I'd gone when I went to Hampstead Heath and back the other day.
Yes, but
we know where we're going to go.
You know where you're
the idea of actually getting lost. I mean, like you say, in Dolby Forest, I was so miserable, but now I would love to get lost. Wouldn't it be great?
and then, of course, we've had some lovely guests as well, which once lockdown's over, we'll definitely reconnect with old guests and get some new ones. But the mobile phone one became a bit of an epic, didn't it? A story within a story.
If you can find those episodes, guys, if you're a more recent listener and you haven't heard that story, it was incredible. It was the most exciting thing that's happened accidentally to ever happen on the podcast, particularly as, plot spoiler, it ended well.
Yes. Yeah. But that.
Because let's face it, I'm not sure the podcast would have survived if I had lost your phone.
Well,
we certainly might have taken a couple of weeks off. I don't know if I want to go this week.
No, it was fine. It was fine. And once the we need to once this period of bloody enforced nonsense is over, then I'm desperate to do some events. I'm really desperate to just go to and do some records at events and meet people.
And to be a hero at those events, you know, help the other people, you know, push. He's in distress.
Yeah. Just get out there irritating people with my northern bonhomie. And,
they were one of my favourite mid-90s bands, Northern Bonhomie. They're so good.
Cheer up. It's all right. I'm actually maintaining my positive vibe vis-a-vis vaccine rollout, possible repercussions for society as well. I'm maintaining. I think.
Which one did you have?
I had the Pfizer vaccine.
Yeah, so you're all right. You didn't have the one that turns out to be no good against the virus.
Well, no, but it stops everything but mild or moderate symptoms, and that's what it's about, isn't it? I mean, it's about hospitals and. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But there's so many people getting them.
Come through it and come out the other side as well, which has got to be good for the soul. I mean, that's the basic idea, is that it's out there. You know, it could get you, or you could give it someone else. And if you've passed through that, then you're on the other side.
I suppose so. Yeah, I don't feel weak. I honestly don't feel weak of having it. I think I could go out and run for an hour and a half now, and then go to hospital. Straight away.
He's joking about it again.
For a lengthy visit. No. We feel very... With me, it was always like... I always had the same angle on the whole thing of like, obviously, I didn't want to get COVID, but I couldn't live my life in fear of it. And the way we lived, with the amount of... Just the kids going to work, it was just almost inevitable that we were going to get it.
I think it's a funny thing about the podcast, isn't it? And it's something, obviously, that as humans that we have to wrestle with. But I think that from purely running commentary point of view, it's the same old that me and you are demographically similar, but our lives are very different. And like while you were saying that, you know, I was so aware of your family. It was kind of like with the working with the kids that your kids are doing.
Yeah, it was
almost inevitable. And also before that, anecdotal, you know, that sense that this is the community it's happening to. Whereas me and the Deerings, we're in a bubble, you know, not an arranged bubble with neighbours, like a literal. I just feel like sometimes I have to remind myself that a couple of times last summer we went for socially distanced walks with other families, because basically we've been locked down for a year. I was thinking about seeing you today and thinking, well, yeah, I mean, Paul's the only other person other than my immediate family that I've seen in 4 months.
Yeah, that's fine. Everyone's done their different things, aren't they? It's going to be interesting to see, coming out of it, to what extent people will want to, you know, mix again, or the pace of that. Do you know what I mean? The pace that people will be comfortable with.
But I think the thing is, lean into it. You know, I think if people are feeling uncomfortable, but on paper it's safe, that we should all be kissing. Yeah. I think that 5 years from now, lovely to get messages, lovely to just feel you out there listening to running commentary. But 5 years from now, I think that that celebration should be in the form of hugs and snogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely hugs. The snogs.
He's backing off of it now. You realise that me and you, you know, it's like it is like blooming Ross and Rachel or You're right, though. We've got to keep that tension because it would just lose that tension.
I'd settle for a good old race. Do you know what I mean? In the summer, that's what I'm hoping for. Again, I'm hanging on to that and hoping for it. I mean, we've been a lot more meet with mates, go for walks, blah. You know, we went on holiday, etc. You're right. We've been opposites.
The fundamental thing, I think that apart from, I do think obviously we've got different attitudes and that's interesting, but I think that you have got more children who are older in a bigger house who've got more friends. Do you know what I mean? So you're already in a huge community compared to our little unit.
Who I can't control.
No, you've got exactly. They're adults with their own.
I can't control my kids.
Paths.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I can tell them not to go out, and then they look at me, and
they go out, and then they come back. They hide somewhere. They come back a week later and start scratching the fridge.
I'm at the whim of forces outside my control. But listen, the 5 year thing's been amazing. And as Martin Hutchinson, he said, "I'll keep running as long as you keep doing the podcast." And I said to him, "We'll keep doing the podcast as long as you keep running."
That's it.
So
that's
kind of means we'll be doing it forever. Because I can't see him stopping running.
No, and thank you. I mean, I just, on the one hand, it was so, we really want to thank everyone. And don't feel that you should have got in touch with us, because we didn't know. But it was a lovely sense that the people who are always, you know, that talking about people on the supporter page and people who sent messages and people who sent videos, a lot of those are the same. There's a lot of people doing all of those things, you know.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
So lovely, all those messages. And you just reminded me of Michelle, who had wanted to do the 10 in 10, who has also been thinking about Martin and Michelle and Kevin, because I've been thinking, well, lots of distance. I've been doing 30 miles a week, and they all run so many miles.
Yes,
but
they
do. Whatever feels like a lot of miles is a long way for you. You know, if you're running, it was Tom Price who said, "I did 100K in a month," and that's great, you know.
That's
anyway.
Fantastic, yeah.
Michelle is working again towards the 10 in 10 after a really tough year and sent that lovely message and then got a place in the London Marathon.
In the London Marathon, that's amazing.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And it was so nice to see Helen on video because, you know, I think that she was such a nice supporter for us. And
yes.
Helen, absolutely, you know, you guys are propping us up. So for all those people who say you've helped us through, it is a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah, and someone wrote on the thing that they said, "Oh, I feel like I have to do a certain amount of running in order to listen to the podcast. It's like the podcast keeps me motivated for running. I feel guilty if I don't run before I listen to the podcast," sort of thing. And it's sort of the same for us as well. It keeps me. It's like the column for Runner's World. You know, it keeps me. It's all part of the thing that keeps me running a lot.
Yes,
do you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Sort of, agree. And I was going to say, obviously, this is such a guilt trip for me right now because I'm not running today. But also, we have a kind of weird kind of social guilt trip based on that, because it is our responsibility as running commentary to have adventures.
Yes.
And in the last year, that ability has been really curtailed. But luckily, it has led almost directly to even heavier use of voices. You're doing all right. You're back in Hackney Marshes,
right,
but you can have adventures there too.
Why don't you try sliders round the house to ease your...
What's a slider? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh God, but it's nice to be reminded that it's fuel in our tank, isn't it? We run because we want to talk about it.
Well, wait.
What's happening?
She just parks herself by the front window as some sort of sentry that no one asked on, just barks at anything that passes. And this is it. This is the day.
Oh, I honestly thought it was you at first.
No. Should we let Billy have the final word?
Yeah. Billy, good luck. Look after all of those guys up there by supplying. It's almost as if you can actually help someone through a long and difficult time, even help someone through life, yeah. purely by being an idiot and talking rubbish a lot. And that's our final word on the matter. Happy birthday to you!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.